The Dhamma Talk, delivered by Venerable Sayadaw U. Silananda at the Thagata Meditation Center, San Jose, California, May 29, 1998.
Okay. Today's subject is not a Dhamma subject. It is about the books through which we understand the Dhamma in theory. Now, okay. Now, Buddha taught for 45 years, and whatever he taught during these 45 years, the Venerable Ananda and other disciples learned them and keep these teachings with them. And Buddha passed away in 544 BC. And just about 3 months after his passing away, the first Buddhist council was held in the city of Rajagaha. And the Venerable Mahakasapa acted as the president of that council. So at that council, all the teachings of the Buddha were collected. And the Venerable Ananda, who was the Buddha's personal attendant for 25 years, presented the Dhamma, that means the discourses and the Abhidhamma, to the assembly. And the Venerable Upali, who was appointed the foremost among those who knew Vinaya or disciplinary rules, presented the Vinaya. Then whatever they presented, the assembly scrutinized, and many questions were put to them regarding the authenticity of these teachings. And only when all the participants were satisfied that a certain piece of teaching was authentic teaching of the Buddha, did they accept them, and then they recorded them by word of mouth. So when they were satisfied about a teaching, about, for example, a discourse, then they would recite that sutta in unison. So that is why that action of recording the Buddha's teachings was known as Sanghayana. Now, Sanghayana means reciting together. All the teachings of the Buddha recorded at the first Buddhist council were classified into three divisions, and these divisions are called Pitakas. Now, the Pali word Pitaka means what is to be learned, or just teaching. And also, it means a receptacle, a basket. So nowadays, people use the meaning basket for Pitaka, because I think it is easier to understand, say, three baskets. Actually, three divisions of his teachings which were to be learned. And the three divisions are: one, Vinaya. and 2 sutta or suttanta, and 3 abhidhamma. Vinaya Pitaka contains rules and regulations for monks, nuns, and novices. And the second division, the sutta or suttanta Pitaka, contains the discourses given by the Buddha to both monks and non-monks. I use non-monks because they include devas or celestial beings also. And the third division was called Abhidhamma Pitaka. And this consists of analytical expositions of many types of what had been taught in the second division. So in Abhidhamma, you don't find new subjects, but the subjects that are taught in the Sutta Pitaka, but the treatment is very different. So in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, the topics taught in the Sutta Pitaka were analyzed in a great detail. Among the 3 Pitakas, the second one, Sutta or Suttanta Pitaka, is most popular because it is for both monks and lay people, and also since it is taught in the conventional language, it is easier to understand. And another division of the Buddha's teachings is the Nikaya division. So in Nikaya division, Buddha's teachings were divided into 5 groups or 5 collections. So they are 1 collection of long discourses called Digha Nikaya in Pali, and 2 collection of middle length discourses, Majjhima Nikaya, and 3 collection of associated discourses called Sanyutta Nikaya, and the collection of discourses whose topics gradually increase in number in succeeding groups of discourses. That means in book 1 only 1 subject or 1 topic is treated in each discourse, but in the second book 2 topics were treated in each discourse, and book 3 topics, and so on until the 11th book. And then that is called Anguttara Nikaya, and 5 is Khodaka Nikaya, collection of small discourses. I want you to understand these 2 kinds of divisions correctly and clearly. Buddha's teachings are divided into 3 Pitakas, or they are divided into 5 Nikayas. So Nikaya division is not a subdivision of Sutta Pitaka. That is important, because most people think that Nikaya division is a subdivision of Sutta Pitaka. But that is not true according to the ancient commentaries. Now, Vinaya Pitaka is included in the Khodaka Nikaya, and Sutta Pitaka or Suttanta Pitaka is included in all 5 Nikayas, and Abhidhamma Pitaka is again included in Kodaka Nikaya. This is from the point of view of Pitakas. From the point of view of Nikayas, then Dika Nikaya is included in Sotanta Pitaka. Majjhima Nikaya, Sanyutta Nikaya, Anguttara Nikaya are also included in Sotanta Pitaka. Then all of Vinaya Pitaka, all of Abhidhamma Pitaka, and some portions of Sotanta Pitaka are included in Kodaka Nikaya. So a book can have two names according to Pitaka and Nikaya. Now the first book of, there are five volumes in the Vinaya Pitaka. Now the first book of Vinaya can be called Vinaya Pitaka according to Pitaka division, and Kodaka Nikaya according to Nikaya division. So in the same way, every book belongs to Pitaka or Nikaya. Get this information from the ancient commentary written by the Venerable Buddhaghosa, especially in the commentary to Vinaya, in the introductory chapter of the commentary to Vinaya. The first three Buddhist councils were described, and also the division into division of Buddha's teachings into 1, 2, 3, 5, 9, and 84,000 units of Dhamma. And also in that portion of the commentary to Vinaya, the spread of Buddha's dispensation to Sri Lanka was also given. So we know much about the first three Buddhist councils, and how the Buddha's teachings were carried to the island of Sri Lanka, and the king and the people were converted to Buddhism. So many details we learn from the commentary to Vinaya. So when describing the Kodaka Nikaya there, the Venerable Buddhaghosa said, what is the Kodaka Nikaya? The rest of the word of the Buddha, including the entire Vinaya Pitaka, the Abhidhamma Pitaka, and the 15 divisions commencing with Kodaka Patha, enumerated earlier, leaving aside the four Nikayas. So apart from four Nikayas, the Kodaka Nikaya consists of the whole Vinaya Pitaka, the whole Abhidhamma Pitaka, and 15 books of Kodaka Nikaya, beginning with Kodaka Patha. And also he wrote it in a verse saying, the rest of the word of the Buddha, excluding these four Nikayas such as Diga, is considered the Kodaka Nikaya. So it is very clear that the Nikaya division is a separate division of the Buddha's teachings and not a subdivision of Sotanta Pitaka. Now there is one thing strange in the Nikaya division, and that is the last one, the Kodaka Nikaya. The meaning of Kodaka is small. So Kodaka Nikaya literally means collection of small discourses. But the whole of Vinaya Pitaka, five volumes, And the whole of Abhidhammapitika, 12 volumes, are included in Kodaka Nikaya, small collection of small discourses. They are not small. Vinaya-pitaka consists of 5 volumes, about, say, 500 pages each, and so on. So, it is strange. And the commentaries did not explain why the Vinaya-pitaka and Abhidhamma-pitaka were included in the Kodaka Nikaya, or small collection. But one commentary, the new sub-commentary to Digha Nikaya, written by a Burmese sayadaw in the ancient days, stated that when the commentators describe the Digha Nikaya and so on, they use the phrase "those of long measure," say discourses of long measure, discourses of middle or medium measure, and so on. But when they describe the Kodaka Nikaya, they did not use the word, use the phrase of small measure. So that commentator thought that in the name Kodaka Nikaya, we are not to take Kodaka literally. So it is just a name for the collection of teachings that are not included in the 4 Nikayas. So that is why the whole of Vinaya-pitaka and the whole of Abhidhamma-pitaka are included in the Kodaka Nikaya collection of small discourses. And Buddha's teachings can be divided into other divisions as well. And so the commentators explain that first, Buddha's words or Buddha's teachings are just one. And one means it has only one taste, the taste of freedom. Now, wherever in the ocean you pick up the water and taste it, you get the salty taste only. So there is only one taste of the ocean, and that is salt, salty taste. In the same way, you can read anywhere in the text and you get the taste of freedom from mental defilements. So in that sense, Buddha's words are just one. There are no divisions of the Buddha's teachings according to the taste they contain. So there is only one kind of Buddha's teachings which have the taste of freedom. But we can divide the Buddha's teachings into 2 divisions, and they are Dhamma and Vinaya. Sometimes all the teachings of the Buddha or the dispensation of the Buddha are called Dhamma and Vinaya. So in that case, Dhamma means the Sotantapitaka and Abhidhammapitaka, and Vinaya means Vinaya-pitaka. So in that case, Buddha's teachings are twofold, Dhamma and Vinaya. Buddha's teachings can also be divided into 3 by way of utterances. That means the first utterance, the middle utterance, and the last utterance. Now, the first utterance is said to be the verses of joy Buddha uttered immediately after his enlightenment. So those are said to be the first words of the Buddha. And when on his deathbed at the age of 80, Buddha admonished his disciples, then Buddha said, I call upon you monks, all conditioned things are subject to dissolution, and accomplish your training with mindfulness. So these are the last words of the Buddha uttered just before his passing away. And those utterances which he gave between these two moments, immediately after the enlightenment and immediately before his passing away, that means during 45 years, those utterances are called middle utterances. So by way of utterances, Buddha's teachings can be divided into three. Again, Buddha's teachings are divided into three pitakas, or they are divided into five nikayas or collections. And also, Buddha's teachings can be divided into nine components. In Pali they are called Anga. So in that case, there are nine divisions of the Buddha's teachings, and they are Sutta, Gaya, and so on. Now it is difficult to explain all these nine divisions, and also it is involved, so I will skip the explanation. And also Buddha's teachings are divided into 84,000 by way of units of Dhamma. And here also it is not easy to explain how we decide a unit of Dhamma. Now, for example, the whole of Mahasatipatthana Sutta is said to be just one unit, because it is taught on one occasion only. But the Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Sutta on the passing away of the Buddha, consists of many units of the Dhamma, because they are it is like the accounts on different occasions connected together. Although the Mahaparinibbana Sutta is not very, very long, it contains many units of Dhamma. But the Mahasatipatthana Sutta is only one unit. So in like that, the units of Dhamma are ascertained. But it is very difficult to really calculate how many units are in Vinayapitaka, how many units are in Sautrantapitaka, and so on. I hope you have heard about King Asoka. King Asoka became a Buddhist, and he was so devoted to the dispensation of the Buddha that he asked how many units of Dhamma were there. And the Arahant elders answered that there were 84,000 units of Dhamma. Then he said, I will honor each unit of Dhamma with one monastery. And so, according to the account given in the commentary to the Vinaya Pitaka, he built 84,000 monasteries in India. And in Burma, we say not only 84,000 monasteries, but also 84,000 pagodas, 84,000 tanks, 84,000 wells, and so on. Now we'll go back to the three Pitakas. Now, Vinaya Pitaka is also called Anadesana. That means teaching of authority. Because in the Vinaya Pitaka, Buddha laid down rule after rule for monks. So Buddha had the authority to lay down these rules. And so Vinaya Pitaka is also known as Anadesana, the teaching of authority. Sutanda Pitaka is also called Vohara Desana. Vohara means conventional language. So Sutanda Pitaka is a teaching by conventional language. So in the Sutanda Pitaka, Buddha used conventional terms like a being, a person, an individual, a man, a woman, and so on. Abhidhamma Pitaka is also called Paramattha Desana, teaching of ultimate truths. Now, in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, conventional language was not used, but here the terms used are of the ultimate truths, like 5 aggregates, 12 bases, 18 elements, 4 noble truths, and so on. Vinaya Pitaka is like a law book, and Abhidhamma Pitaka is like a textbook of physics, for example, and Sutanda Pitaka is like a book on general subject. So that is why Sutanda Pitaka is popular with all people. Again, Vinaya Pitaka is described as Yathaparada Sasana. That means teaching according to offenses. If you do this thing, you come to this offense, and if you have this offense, you must try to get out of this offense by doing such and such things like that. So it is called teaching according to offenses. Sutanda Pitaka is also called Yathanuloma Sasana, teaching according to dispositions and so on. That means when Buddha taught these discourses, he taught according to the dispositions or likes or dislikes of his listeners. That is why his teachings are varied in character. Sometimes he said there are only two things, mind and matter. Sometimes he taught that there are 5 aggregates. Again, he taught that there are 12 bases and so on. So one and the same thing is taught as having different names. And that was because some people are familiar with a particular kind of terminology. And for that person, he used the terminology that would be easily understood by that person. And for another person, he used another terminology to suit the understanding of that person. So in the Sutanda Pitaka, the teaching is according to the dispositions or the what do you call that, inner thoughts of or likes and dislikes of his listeners. Abhidhamma Bidhika is also described as Yatha Dhamma Sasana. Now Dhamma here means reality. So Abhidhamma Bidhika is taught according to reality. So when Buddha taught Abhidhamma, he taught as it should be taught, and he did not look for what the audience will like or will not like, and so on. So Abhidhamma Bidhika is the presentation according to reality. And Vinaya Bidhika is also called Samvara Samvarakatha. That means teaching of different restraints. There are small restraints and there are big restraints. And Vinaya Bidhika is just restraint, because the rules, if you read the rules, you will understand this. Say, you are not to do this, you are not to do that, and so on. So, and the restraint is taught in the Vinaya Bidhika. So, Vinaya Bidhika is also called Samvara Samvarakatha. Restraint means restraint of bodily actions and speech. So, restraint is to prevent breaking the rules, to prevent transgression. And the Vinaya Bidhika is for the sila of monks, and so it involves restraint. And restraint is said to be the opposite of transgression, of breaking the rules. Abhidhamma Bidhika is also called, Sautana Bidhika is also called Deiti Vinivetanakatha. That means the discourse of refutation of wrong views. Now, in the very first book of Digha Nikaya, Buddha mentioned 62 kinds of wrong views. And since they are wrong views, they are all to be refuted, or they are all to be discarded. So, Sautanta Bidhika is called a discourse of refuting wrong views. Abhidhamma Bidhika is also known as Nama Rupa Parichedakatha, discourse of defining mind and matter. Because defining of mind and matter is an important thing in the practice of meditation, and it helps a meditator, the defining of mind and matter helps a meditator to get rid of defilements. So Abhidhamma Bidhika is known as discourse of defining mind and matter. So when you understand Abhidhamma, you know what is mind, what is matter, and that there are only two things, mind and matter, and no other thing like soul or self or being or person, and so on. In Vinaya Bidhika, the training of higher morality is taught. Now, the precepts kept by monks are called higher morality or higher sila. they are higher than the sila practiced by lay people. Now, lay people keep 5 precepts or 8 precepts or at most 10 precepts. But monks have to keep 227 basic rules, and there are many more rules to be kept. And so the precepts or rules kept by the monks are called a training of higher morality. So in the Vinaya Pitaka, the training of higher morality is taught. In Sotanta Pitaka, the training of higher consciousness or higher samadhi, concentration is taught. Higher concentration means the 8 kinds of jhanas. Vidama Pitaka, the training of higher wisdom is taught. Now, higher wisdom means vipassana knowledge and path knowledge and fruition knowledge. Here, when we say in Vinaya Pitaka, the training of higher morality is taught, we must understand that the training of higher morality is taught predominantly. That means the other trainings are also taught, but the emphasis is on the training of higher morality. And in the Sotanta Pitaka again, training of higher consciousness is predominantly taught, and in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, the training of higher wisdom is predominantly taught. In Vinaya Pitaka, the avoidance of transgression is taught, because Vinaya rules always prevent monks from transgression. And in the Sotanta Pitaka, the avoidance of the coming up of mental defilements is taught. And in Abhidhamma Pitaka, the avoidance of latent defilements is taught. They are stated in this way because sila can prevent transgression, and samadhi can prevent the arising or coming up of mental defilements, and panya can eradicate the latent tendencies or latent mental defilements. Vinaya Pitaka, momentary abandonment of mental defilements is taught, and in Sotanta Pitaka, the abandonment, the abandonment of mental defilements is taught, and in Abhidhamma Pitaka, the total abandonment, like cutting off a tree. So total abandonment of mental defilements is taught. You practice sila, you can prevent mental defilements only when you are practicing, and the next moment they may come back. But when you get jhanas, then you can prevent mental defilements from arising for some longer time. And when you reach enlightenment, you are able to eradicate all mental defilements. So that is why in Vinaya Pitaka, the avoidance of or the momentary abandonment is taught, and in Sotanta Pitaka, the temporary abandonment is taught, and in Abhidhamma Pitaka, the total abandonment is taught. in Vidyapitaka, the abandonment of defilements of misdeeds is taught. That means when you keep precepts, you avoid misdeeds. You do not do any wrongdoing. So in Vinayapitaka, the avoidance of any wrongdoing is taught. And in Sotantapitaka, the avoidance of or abandonment of craving is taught. And in the Abhidhamma Pitaka, the avoidance of defilement of wrong view is taught. Because when you study Abhidhamma, you will come to realize that there are only mind and matter, or only five aggregates, and so on. And so, over and above mind and matter, there is nothing that can be called a permanent entity or a atta, and so on. Because it is a course, it's like a study course, I want it to be complete. So I give all information about the Pitakas as we find in the commentaries. But do not worry if you do not remember all of them. Even monks have difficulty in remembering all of them. So now we will go to the Buddhist councils. Before we talk about Buddhist councils, we should understand that besides the Tipitaka, there are the commentaries and sub-commentaries in Theravada Buddhist literature. Now, commentaries are those that explain the texts, because sometimes that the texts themselves may not be quite understandable, because we are far removed from the time of the Buddha, and so we need the help of a teacher or an explanation like that. So there came to be commentaries. And then as the time went on, even these commentaries became difficult to understand. And so sub-commentaries have to be written on these commentaries. And so there are three levels of Buddhist books: the texts or the teachings of the Buddha, and the commentaries, the explanation of the teachings, and then sub-commentaries, the explanation of the commentaries. And the explanations, many explanations contained in the commentaries, actually go back to the time of the Buddha. Because Buddha must have explained, or must have given explanations when monks did not readily understand his teachings. And those explanations were preserved by individual monks. They were not collected at the First Buddhist Council, but they were handed down from teacher to pupil, from teacher to pupil. And so when later on they were compiled into books. So there are three levels of books in the Buddhist literature, especially Theravada Buddhist literature, and they are the texts, teachings of the Buddha, and the commentaries explaining the texts, and sub-commentaries explaining the commentaries. Till now, there have been six Buddhist councils. So the first Buddhist council was held at Rajagaha, just 3 months after the death of the Buddha. Now, you already know about that council. Now, the second Buddhist council was held at the city of Vaishali 100 years after the death of the Buddha. And the third Buddhist council was held at Pataliputra, a city in India, 234 years after the death of the Buddha, during the time of King Asoka. Asoka was a supporter of that council. These three councils were held in India during the time when there was not yet division of Buddhism into Theravada and Mahayana. After that, the division came into being, and Theravada Buddhists held their own councils, and Mahayana Buddhists also held their own Mahayana councils. So since we are talking about Theravada principles here, I will tell you about Theravada councils only. So the fourth Buddhist council was held at Alu Vihara, that is in Sri Lanka, 450 years after the death of the Buddha. Of the first Buddhist council until about 450 years after the death of the Buddha, the Tipitaka was handed down from generation to generation by word of mouth. So it was not yet written on books or on palm leaves. But about 450 years after the death of the Buddha in Sri Lanka, the elders at that time thought that the future generation might not be able to keep the Tipitaka intact. So they decided to write the Tipitaka down on the palm leaves. And that was done at a place called Alu Vihara, near modern Kandy in Sri Lanka. So at the fourth Buddhist council, the Tipitaka was written down on palm leaves. So it was not the time of paper books yet. In the late 19th centuries, during the time of King Mindon in Burma, the fifth Buddhist council was held. Now, kings want to excel the previous kings. So King Mindon thought, if the previous kings or former kings had Tipitaka written on palm leaves, I will have the Tipitaka written on marble slabs, which can last much, much longer than the palm leaves. The white ants can eat palm leaves very easily. So he decided to ask the elders at that time to hold a Buddhist council, and so the fifth Buddhist council was held at Mandalay in 1871. So at that council, it takes a number of years. At that council, the Tipitaka was first written down on palm leaves, and then they were written down on copper plates, and last they were written down on marble slabs. And these marble slabs were put in a house, a brick house each, and they were placed in the precincts of a pagoda called Kudodor in Mandalay, at the foot of Mandalay Hill. So if you visit Burma and if you visit Mandalay, you can go and see these marble slabs. They are all intact. It is very lucky that not a single how to call that, bomb was dropped on that place. So they are still intact. And these marble slabs are big slabs, about 5 feet tall and 3.5 feet across and about 5 or 6 inches thick. So one Burmese author called it the world's biggest book. There are altogether 729 of those marble slabs, and each has two faces. So it's about 1,458 pages of marble slabs, and on them are written or inscribed the whole of Tipitaka. Now, King Mindon was succeeded by his son King Thibaw, and during his time Burma fell to the British and became a British colony. Then after the Second World War, Burma gained independence, and so the government of Burma decided to hold another council. So in 1954, the Sixth Buddhist Council was held in Rangoon, Burma. Now, in the meantime, many books came into being, and Tipitaka books were printed in Burma. So there were books version and then the marble slab version. So the government of Burma wanted there to be one re-edited version of Tipitaka to become a standard version for all Theravada Buddhists. So to that council, Sixth Buddhist Council, the elders from the other Theravada countries were invited to edit the Tipitaka again. And so the learned elders from Sri Lanka, Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos were invited to Burma, and they sat together with Burmese monks and re-edited the text, comparing with different versions. And so an edition of Tipitaka books was carried out at the Sixth Buddhist Council. And not only the texts, but also the commentaries and sub-commentaries were edited and recited and printed and published. So there are altogether 118 volumes printed and published by the Sixth Buddhist Council. So King Mindon created the biggest book in the world. That was the time of scribes and who had to do with their hands. And later came the printing age. And now it is a computer age. So now we are trying to produce the smallest Tipitaka in the world, Tipitaka on CD-ROMs. So now all the texts, 118 volumes, are entered into the computer, and I think now they are correcting the typo errors, and pretty soon, maybe about end of this year or into the next year, I think we will be able to produce that smallest Tipitaka book on CD-ROM. So This is the account of the teachings of the Buddha. May the Tipitaka endure in the world as long as the world lasts and form the basis for correct understanding of the teachings of the Buddha and also the correct practice of his teachings, thus enabling beings to reach the final destination of extinction of all suffering.